Renate?
Yes?
Do you know what I like about gardening?
No.
Cutting and shaping trees. Do you think that has something to do about the hairdressing?
Of course. I think so.
I haven't got to the avant-garde part yet, but I'm planning to.
So you're not cutting ducks?
No, it's ball, round balls now. But I have plans. So for the summer, we'll see.
We'll see amazing things.
Yeah.
Welcome to our podcast, HairPod. My name is Renate.
And I'm Ann-Marit.
Yes. And how's your week been, Ann-Marit?
I just started working after the corona isolation. My first day was yesterday, and I was at the Tendence coloring dolls. So it's really good to be back. How about you?
My week is all about train the trainers, and I'm the trainee, of course.
Wow.
Since I'm the new one at my new work.
Fun?
Yeah, very fun.
We have a guest here on Skype.
Yes, we do. And today's guest is a member of the British Hairdressing Hall of Fame after winning British Hairdresser Awards 3 times. And he's leading the Mark Anthony art team and are a member for the international Joico team. Welcome to us, Bruno Mark.
So my career started, my father was a hairdresser and obviously an Italian hairdresser from Italy. And he opened up the salon when I was 5 years old. And he called it Mark Anthony. I'm Bruno Mark and my brother Simon Anthony. And obviously, me and Simon, there's only 18 months between us. And I came into hairdressing at the age of 18. And yeah, I went to London. I learnt with Allen International in Hammersmith, London. And then after there, I went to Vidal Sassoon's in South Moulton Street and did courses. And I used to save all my tips to go on courses at Vidal Sassoon's. And in my 20s, I started entering competitions, hair competitions, and I started to win them. And then manufacturers came and asked me to teach for them because I was winning competitions and they liked what I did. So I kind of fell into being an educator, and I then had to be taught how to present because I was working with a big company. So they sent me off for stage training for 2 weeks and how to present to an audience, how to present to an audience of 50 people, to an audience of 5,000 people. So, I did all that training because when you're a hairdresser and you're on stage, when I was in Norway, you see what I was like. I'm very comfortable on stage. And I always say the audience won't remember what you did. They will remember if they enjoyed it and if it was fun. And I think so many hairdressers go out and they say, oh, we're going to cut this and we're going to do this. Whereas I have fun. So they can get the information, but in a fun way, and then it sticks more. So it's all about, for me, impressing them and giving them like a show.
Do you get nervous when you go on stage?
Always nervous.
Yeah.
I've been doing it since I was 29, and I'm now 39. So I'm always nervous. But I normally, if like in Norway, what I tend to do, and I do it with all my team, wherever we go on stage and we talk first with no models. So that kind of relaxes you. So you have a little chat with the audience and you say that the show's going to be about this, like I did in Norway. We're going to do this. And that way you can also get a feel for the audience then. Whether they're going to be responsive or you think, oh, my God, Bruno, this is going to be a hard hour. So I feel relaxed. And then when we bring out the first model, it goes into it nicely. But always, always nerves. If you haven't got nerves, there's something wrong.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your father was a hairdresser.
Yeah.
Did you always think that you was going to be a hairdresser?
Never. I hated it.
Because
my father used to have me in the salon when I was 9 years old, 10 years old, sweeping the floor. And it was a men's salon where they used to smoke. It was just men's smoking. I was just sweeping the floor. And I used to do the mornings from 8 in the morning till 1. And my brother would take over and do from 1 till 6. And we got paid 50 pence, which is like half a pound. And yeah, and I hated it and I never wanted to do it. And then when I left school, I was playing football. Cut the story short, my football never worked. And then I fell hairdressing. And I actually, when I went into the ladies' side and started to learn ladies and in London, I absolutely loved it. And I thought it was absolutely fantastic. It was the best job in the world because I had ladies that were in my chair for 45 minutes and they could not get away from me. So I was talking and I enjoyed it. I loved it. Absolutely. Yeah.
So the competition, why did you start the competition?
Because
what was the drive?
So going back, obviously I played football and I played semi-professional football right up until I was 35. So I was very competitive. And I was invited to the British Hairdressing Awards when I was 28 years old. And I went there and I see everyone entering these pictures and doing amazing hair and seeing them. And basically, I looked at Simon, my brother, and I said, I want a piece of that. I want some of that. So we entered and I entered 4 times before I won. So I entered 4 times, and on the 4th time, I won Southern Hairdresser of the Year, which was 2007, my first win. And then I won, and I thought, I'm never going to do it again because I've done it. I've won it. And other hairdressers said, you have to win it 3 times to be in Hall of Fame. I said, why? I don't need to. I've won it. What's the big deal about Hall of Fame? So the year after, I never entered in 2008. And then I entered in 2009 and I never got to the final 6 because you have to go through the judging rounds. So it starts off with about 50 from Southern and they choose the final 6 to go to the final. And I never got into the final. So then your little man on the shoulder says, Bruno, you're a one-hit wonder.
Oh. It's the one.
So then I had to prove to myself that I could do it again. So then in 2010, I did it again and I won. And so when you have 2 of those beautiful silver trophies, then number 3, you have to go for it to be in the Hall of Fame.
Of course.
So you never do it again. And so that was 2011 when I won my second trophy, and then I didn't win my Hall of Fame till 2014 when I won Hall of Fame. And it was an amazing night because in 2014 we entered artistic team and it was Southern and we won both.
Oh,
so wow,
the best artistic team in the UK in 2014, and I went into the Hall of Fame with my collection. So we had a double whammy. It was incredible.
But so, are you still doing it?
Sorry?
Are you still doing it?
Still doing it. Yeah. So I've been doing it every year since then. And then in 2018, we won artistic team again. And when we won artistic team, what happens when you win artistic team, a lot more manufacturers come in and want you to do photographic collections. They want you to do imagery for them. They want you to go and do shows in different parts of the world because you are the London's artistic team winners. So it opens doors for you. And then We never did it in 2020 because of lockdown. In 2021, we entered Southern again with my brother Marcus, and we entered Arc Team. We got to the final six in both, and we won. It was incredible. Yeah.
You have to tell us what the Hall of Fame is for the Norwegian people who don't know that.
The Hall of Fame of British Hairdressing is the British Hairdressing Awards is the elite award, which anyone who is anybody enters the British Hairdressing Awards. And now, 2 years ago, they've opened it up for Europe. So people from Norway can enter because there is an international collection now you can do. And you enter it and you get recognition from your peers and the industry. And it is the ultimate award to win. I'm fortunate. I'm very fortunate and lucky that I've got 9 of those winning trophies, which is a lot. Whereas some people enter for years and they never get one. So I'm very grateful for what I've done. So
what's your secret?
Honestly, my secret is when you look at my pictures, I mesh the hair around. It's like we have a team. So when we shoot on the day, we have looks that we're going to do. And if you look at my collection that won this year, I pull it all out and I blow it with air because the image has got to look like real life and it's got to be like 3D. So that's what I go for. I don't like just boring, plain, you know, Vogue image. It has to be a little bit more, you know, exciting. Because as a judge, when you win Hall of Fame, you become a judge for the British Hairdressing Awards. So I judge all the collections. And obviously I cannot judge artistic team because I'm in it, and I can't judge Southern because we're in it. You cannot judge the categories you're in. But I look at everybody's pictures. And when I find something exciting, I think, wow, yeah. And then I study the whole collection. But if you see, for example, if you have a load of hair up that you all like, but then you see one where it's all sticking out and the girl looks a bit sexy, then that seems to be the one that makes a difference. And so I always look for different. It has to be different. I don't want to follow. It's got to be different.
You're talking about the team, so you have to be 5 people to join this?
No, in my team, yeah, in my team, there's Marcus, Susie, Paolo, and me, and Dan. So, there's 4 of us.
So that's the same in all countries, if nobody wants to compete?
And if you've got Tony and Guy, because that's our team against us, they've got like 26 in their team.
Oh.
You know, but people say to me, you're small team, you're this. It's a bit like David and Goliath. Tony and Guy have one art director. Mark Anthony is Bruno, is one art director. The rest of the people, Dan, Marcus, they all help for the ingredients. But it's the art director, or if you want to call it the chef, that makes the cake. So, you know, I don't look at it as that. It's Bruno from Mark Anthony with just 4 salons and Tony and Guy with hundreds of salons. I look at it as Bruno, art director, against Koz Sakos, Tony and Guy, art director. And that's how I look at it.
Yeah. So
it just makes it, you know, if you think about what Tony and Guy are, they're massive. They're the best, one of the best in the world. Incredible company. But you still only enter 6 images, like everybody. And you've just got to put everything into those 6 images to make them exciting.
Do the team do all the work themselves, like makeup, clothes?
Yeah, so what we do, the whole process is, first of all, we go through the clothes styling, which we want. Then we will choose 6 models. And once we've got the models, we then look at doing 3 looks on those models. So on the day, because timing is everything, we would have a long hair. And we're going to say, right, that long hair, we're going to do like Jessica Rabbit waves, first look. Second look is going to be really curly and big. Yeah. So you have them printed so we know what we're going to do. And those looks go on that model. So there is no faffing when the model comes to the studio and you're like, oh, what shall I do? No, we know. You have to plan it. The famous phrase, fail to prepare is to prepare to fail. So we are so regimented because we shoot 10 models in a day. So we have to be very organized.
Do you have a favorite photographer that you use all the time?
Amy Blanchard.
Yeah.
I've been working with him for 3 years now. But what I'm proud of is I've won my awards with different photographers. I've won my awards with Martin Evening, with Andrew O'Toole, with Richard Miles, with Jamie Blanchard, because I don't want people to think, oh, that's Photoshop, that's the photographer, because that's I like my work to look. It's about the work, not about the photography. So I'm one of the very few that has actually won the British Hairdressing Awards with four different photographers. So, and I'm proud of that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But Jamie is a young photographer, which I met 3 years ago, and I wanted to shoot. And I shot with him, and he was surprised. And I said, Jamie, all I want is a white background. I'm going to have colourful clothes, bright, colourful hair. So all you've got to do is shoot. And I don't know if you've seen the collection, but I had all the clothes were Gucci and everything. It was really colourful. And we had yellow hair, pink hair. It was all Joico intensities that we used on the models. And it was a real bright collection. And it got to the final. It never won. But for me, I just want to do something different. So it's so exciting because we just moved across to Joico in 2019. So I got all these models in and I obliterated them all with colour intensities, yellows, blues, pinks. So we had a combination. And all with the Gucci clothes, it was really colourful. Everything was colourful. So, and that work, all the models that we did, we had so many front covers, Anesthetica, HJ. It went crazy, but we never won the award. So sometimes you got to do what you follow in your heart. I do a beautiful collection for me first. And I think a lot of hairdressers, because I'm experienced now, you've got to put your ego to one side and you've got to think, I want to do this beautiful collection for my salon, my team, that's going to represent my brand. Then it goes into the awards. And if it wins, it's a bonus. Yeah. I don't want to do haircuts where it's bit like this, misses. And, you know, like young hairdressers do for competitions, they chip chop and that famous phrase, less is more.
Yeah.
You know? Less is more and it makes it more beautiful. Whereas when you're judging, I judge a lot of college competitions. They cut a chunk here, then down, then there. Then around the back, there's a piece missing and it's too much, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas it's that famous phrase, less is more. You know?
Yeah. Your pictures are beautiful. I've seen them. They are really beautiful.
Yeah.
What is it? What do you think is the biggest mistake hairdressers do when they do pictures?
What I just said, firstly, they've got to take their ego out of it and they've got to look at the picture. I say a picture's got to have three elements, okay? The first one is it's got to be beautiful. And what I mean by that is so that not the hairdresser likes it, so your clients like it. So the clients go, wow, that's lovely, beautiful, yeah? Because hairdressers think beautiful is a bit shaved off and a bit sticking out, you know? So it's got to be beautiful. And then if it's beautiful, that covers the editorial side, yeah? And you've got to have a little bit of edge in there, yeah? Just a little bit of edge. So it's got to have a little bit of strength. Okay, not to what I call flauncy, all right? Yeah. And thirdly, you've got to look at that picture and say to yourself, will that be a front cover? Yeah?
Yeah.
And I always look, when I'm judging, I look at pictures and even my own pictures, I judge them out of 10 and I say, that's a 10, that's an 8, that's a 6. And if I've got 3 or 4 10s in there, I think I've got a good chance of winning. And I know that's going to be front cover. Yeah?
Mm.
Experience. And the other mistake a lot of hairdressers make is they do the hair like they do in the salon. And it's totally different. It's totally different. I mean, now I've been working with Joico since 2019 and I've been doing their imagery for them, for Joico Europe. And it looks so different now. It's like, you know, you're getting nice, you're getting short blondes, long bouncy blondes that the consumer will like. Because at the end of the day, we want the clients to say, oh, that beautiful blonde in that image, I want my hair like that. Or that short little red, I want my hair like that. You don't want a piece missing and have it like for the hairdresser. Because we're not doing that in the salon.
No.
I want images in my salon and on my wall that are beautiful, that my clients can relate to. All my images are consumer driven because that is where my business is. Yeah. Mm. I don't have to impress and cut a piece out of the head or shave it for my clients because that's not what they want. Hairdressers want that when you're doing a show. They want to see crazy and everything, but not for your work. And it's about what you believe in and what you want to put across. Like I was speaking to Zebda the other day, who's in the European team, and her work's very soft and beautiful. And, you know, she's thinking of entering a collection in the British Hairdressing Awards for the European collection. And her work's so beautiful. And now it's up to date. So, yeah, I think it's about what you believe in, not trying to convert to what you think, if that makes sense. Yeah. Because so many think they have to do something crazy or different. Stick to your strengths.
Mm-hmm. I love to hear that because we hear this. We think it has to be crazy. We think we have to shave the half the head. Then, yeah. So I love that.
Yeah.
What does it take to join your team?
So with my team, I mean Dan has been in my team. Since he started in my team, he was one of the youngest. He was 22.
Mm-hmm.
But he started with me at 16. So he used to come on all the shoots, behind the scenes, everything. So Dan now, he's 37. And he is art director in his own salon that he runs for me. And he's traveled the world with me, you know, and he's an amazing all-round hairdresser. And then you've got Marcus, who is the head of education, and he teaches all of our youngsters 2 days a week. And Marcus is ex-Sassoon, so he trained at Vidal Sassoons. So we teach the ABC in the school, the basic classics. And then the avant-garde work we've done, we've kind of taught ourselves. And then we've got this year joined the team was Paolo and Susie. And Susie's been with me. She joined from Scotland, came to me because she wanted to be in my art team. And it's taken her 3 years, and now she's in the art team. And then we have Paolo, who is 21, and he's my nephew, and he's the new blood, and he's trained at Vidal Sassoons. So he's got the cutting techniques, but he needs the experience, and he's working with us. And in fact, we did a show for Joy Nation and Paolo was involved and did some of the hair for it, which is on the 31st of January, which is going to be incredible, as you know.
I know. Joiko, what is your role there? Can you tell us about that?
So I am the creative ambassador for Joiko Europe, UK and Ireland. And then we have Marcus, Dan is their ambassador for colour for Joiko, and then Marcus is in the European design team. So my job overall is to make sure all the imagery looks incredible for Europe. So when we released the blonde collection, we did that. When we released the reds, the long one, you know, we had a long one which was all waves like Jessica Rabbit, and then we had a short curly one when we launched the reds. So I basically, they give me a brief, but they also give me the freedom to do what I want. So it's quite nice because I just say, oh, I'm going to do, like, for example, when we did the red one, I said, I've got this beautiful model, long hair, we'll do it red and make it look like Jessica Rabbit. They said, oh, wow, that sounds great. But then we can scrunch it up all curly so she looks like nightclubby for every day. So we did that. And that way the consumer can get both. And then we did a short one where we blow dried it for like more the over 30-year-old woman, a bit older. And then we did one where it was all curly and she was in the green dress, but it covered all the new reds. So I'm given a brief, and then I've got to make sure that I have that imagery to support those colours so that the customers will go, wow, yeah, I want that colour. So that's what I do, basically. And I put the videos together, the marketing videos with Joico, so that it's a collaboration with Danielle, Wendy, everyone, Lee, all of them.
What's your favourite product in Joico?
At the moment, Rise Up. I love Rise Up because I can use it on short hair. The men love it. I use it on nearly everything. Long hair, you know, like Amri's when I've done a big curl. Like one of our images was a blonde in the winning collection and she had a like this and it was all big and curly. And we curled it all with the tongue, blasted it with a hairdryer and put all Rise Up in at the root and blasted it. And it just makes it full and sexy. I love Rise Up. You know, that's one of my favorite products. So, because I can use it on everyone, you know? So, yeah.
I know. Can you talk a little bit about Joy Nation? I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, that's a secret. You got to log in. So, basically, the 31st of January, it's going to be massive. It's going out to all the European countries, Ireland and UK as well. And you've got all of the European team on there demonstrating their tricks and tips. There is a social media event where you can join and get to learn about all the social media that you can use and how to make your salon business stronger and so that salon owners can feel more comfortable with it. Because someone like me that was born 30 years too soon, I find that, you know, all this modern technology a bit daunting. I had the young 16, 17-year-olds, when I want to do something with TikTok or anything, that's a quick show me. And they do it all. So we have that covered. You have Zebda, you have Danielle, you have Katrina Kelly, David, Paul Watts. Everyone's doing demonstrations of some kind. And then it finishes with the Mark Anthony artistic team. And I've spent weeks on this, like the last piece, which is showing you everything from our collections, behind the scenes, to demonstrating little techniques for you on men, hair up, braiding. So it kind of covers everything, and that's kind of the finale of it. But and also, we're going to be there so you can go into live chat rooms. So you can come in and to the chat rooms once you've signed up and speak with any of the European team, myself, my Mark Anthony art team. So people want to know questions after, you know, if they've seen it, or like you're saying to me, how do you do this? How do you do that? So everyone is like an open book. We're sharing everything. So, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. And it's free?
Yes.
Right? Yes.
It's totally free. You just got to click on the link, Join Nation, sign up. It's a free online event. It's never been done before like this. And, you know, we're looking to nearly have up to 2,000 people on there.
Wow. So
it's going to be massive, you know. I think we've already in the UK, we've got about 700 signed up. So That's UK without all the other countries. So, yeah.
Have you been planning this for a long time?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Much work.
Since last year.
Yeah.
Just a few things. We actually filmed in a studio where we filmed 8 models that we did. But for me, I wanted it to be interesting. So it's not just about us showing you a Zoom and doing the models on stage like a show, because I feel hairdressers get bored easily. Mm-hmm. So I switch it to behind the scenes when we're doing our British Hairdressing Award shoots and show you elements of that, you know, and using all the bright intensity colours. So it's a total mixture of, so just as, because when I'm watching it, I'm the worst one. If you can't keep me interested, I go. So I want, when Joico said to me, we want you to do a show, which about live Zoom show where it's going to be education on haircuts, men, this, that. I thought, well, that's okay, but it's got to have a little bit more, you know, more sexiness in there. So I've put little elements of surprises where it flashes to this, And when I've done big shows abroad, I've brought in them, because when I go abroad, I have my own videographer guy. So it shows elements when we're on stage in China in front of 15,000 hairdressers, you know, and we're doing work there. It shows when we're in London, doing a big show in London at the Albert Hall. So it's got all different elements. So it keeps switching. So it keeps people interested rather than just seeing a haircut and being, oh, my God, I'm going to fall asleep.
That's true.
it's a lot of work. It's been a lot of work. But I've showed this because it goes on for, it's 54 minutes, the last part with the Mark Antony team. So I showed it to a lot of my hairdressing friends. And they thought, oh, my God, wow, this is incredible. I wasn't bored. It kept me interested. It's so exciting seeing this, seeing that. I wanted to see more. So it shows enough, but it keeps you guessing for the next. So, yeah, it was a lot of work, was your question.
And the date for this happening is?
31st of January.
Perfect.
Yeah, two weeks Monday. So, yeah.
You have been around the world with courses. Do you remember some of them particularly? Or
you, Anne-Marie?
Yeah.
When I was in Oslo, Norway.
Yeah. Right. Oh.
Yes. Doing those throat braids for us.
Yeah. Oh, that was fantastic.
You go, it's a lot of places you go. And, you know, I find... Sometimes you can go to places where they think they know everything and they invite you along and they're kind of watching from afar. They don't want to join in because of they think they know everything. And there's others where people are so humble, they want to learn. And Mark Antony team, we're as humble as anything. We're not prima donnas. We share and give everything. And we want people to learn it because my mantra and my art team is we learn it, we share it, and we learn more. If you don't share it and you keep it in your box, you don't grow. So for me, when I learn something, I want to share it to as many people as I can. Then I can bring something else in. And that's passed on, you know. And I've always said to Dan and Marcus, because I helped them in their career and I made them, I'm like, now you have to make another Dan and another Marcus to prove to me that you can do what I can do. So it's always about, for me, it's always been about the next generation and bringing through the younger ones. And when I was in, like, Norway, I always say, if we have taught the audience and you can go away with one or two things, then that's my job done, you know? And if you can enjoy it as well and have a bit of fun, then it makes it even better.
I love that. I love that way to think, to sharing.
Yeah, because look, I'll give you one example. I won't say the country, but I was in a country. I'm on stage and they had their top hairdresser from this country sat in the front row. And while I'm cutting on stage, the top hairdresser comes onto my stage to look at what I'm doing and saying in their language, talking to the interpreter, what's he doing, this, blah, blah, blah. And so I said to the interpreter, can you please tell this person to sit down? And as it progresses, I will explain and he will see what I am doing. But it was a case of he wanted to be seen on that stage because he is the best hairdresser in that country. And now and then you get people like that. I understand, you know. But I said, kindly move back so everyone can see because you're in, you know, because you've got a cameraman on stage with you when big audience. But he had big colognes to actually come on the stage in the first place. I'm like, wow, before. But most people are too nervous to be on stage. But obviously, this guy thought he was God. So, but you do get them now and then. It's part and parcel. I get it. A hairdressing industry. I don't make myself out to be anything I'm not. Yeah. What I do, I love doing it. I can cut hair, I put hair up. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, it's not for you, then fine. I'm okay with that. But I'm comfortable in my skin and in my job now because I'm so experienced and I've won so many awards that I know I'm good. Yeah. So you've got to have a bit of confidence in yourself. And I wouldn't say I'm overconfident because I'm always learning and I always want to learn more. But I can kind of put anyone in their box. And I think now and then you have to do that. But that's, you can only do that if you've got the experience and the knowledge, which is what I've got. So, you know, I always do it in a nice way. I don't get to, you know.
Yeah. Do you still cut the customers?
Yes, all the time, Anne-Marie.
I'm
on the salon floor, and on Fridays and Saturdays, I have my old ladies with my little round brush blow drying that I've been doing for 35, 40 years.
Wow.
But the girls say to me, my young girls say, oh, you do the old ladies. And I'm like, no, 40 years ago, they were sexy ladies. They aged. You know, that's the thing. They age with you. So, you know, yeah, I love doing the salon work. Me, that is the easiest part because I go in, I can do my clients, I have fun, and I love it. You know, the stressful part is when I'm doing shows because the pressure's on and you always put yourself, you put added pressure on yourself. Oh, my God, is this audience going to like it? Have we done enough this? Is there enough long hair? Is the colours bright enough? Have we done enough short haircuts? You know, I mean, sometimes I go to different parts of the world and I rock up and sometimes the models, I'm like, oh, my God. You know, and you think, I've got to go out and do a show with this? Models that come in with hair down here, they want to touch off. What can I teach? You know, so you have to work on your feet and it's experience. And but like I say, you must never let yourself fall down. You've always got to have that confidence to go out there, whether it's a Fiat Punto or a Ferrari. You've got to go out there and do the same job. And it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the conversation. You have to go out there and entertain. So, you know, 90% of the audience, 2 days later, if you said to them, what did Bruno and Dan do? Or what did they do on stage? I don't know, but I remember he was funny because he did this. Yeah. The hair. Oh, yeah, I think he did a long hair or did a short, but he was a real good guy. He was talking to the audience and he was this, that. They remember that. They forget about what the hair was. Yeah. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but that's just how it is. I'm going to so many seminars, and when people used to say, we're going to over-direct, we're going to elevate 45 degrees, I'd be, oh, my God, you know? Yeah, whereas I want, wow, right, we're going to chop this off, we're going to do this, bang, bang. It's how you wrap it up, you know? Mm. It's like one of my icons, and I love him to bits, Patrick Cameron, you know? Fantastic, but he's all about drama. Yeah. When he does his hair, he's been doing similar for the last
big circles.
Yeah, but incredible at what he does, you know. He's just fantastic. There is no one that can work a stage or an audience like Patrick. He is, you know, the most famous hairdresser in the world now, I think, you know.
Yeah.
But it's about being a showman, and he still does long hair. I mean, you love long hair.
Yeah.
But he does it in a way where he just makes, I need 10 pins, he needs one.
That's amazing.
He is of hair up. And, and I've worked on stage with him. We've worked together, and he's a great person.
How is to work on the stage with him?
Well, I can tell you a funny story because we toured around the UK launching products for this company that I used to work for. And Patrick was doing three models, hair up, and I was doing three haircuts everywhere we went. So he'd be on that side of the stage doing his hair up and I'd be doing my haircuts. We go to Ireland and we turn up 8 o'clock in the morning, ready for the show at 7 o'clock in the evening. And we go into the room and there's all these models, six models with all long hair. So I said, which three are having the haircuts? Oh, no, 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 no. What do you mean? No, long, long, long. So they got confused in Ireland and they thought we were both doing long hair. I'm like, oh my God. So I have to do long hair on stage next to my icon god, Patrick Cameron. So I've got model and I did a lot of braiding so I could cheat and get all the hair away and braiding and mohawky. So that I just had like quiffs to do. And I remember I'm on stage and I pick up this piece of hair. And as I'm backbrushing, Patrick picks up a piece of hair and he said, now, people need to backbrush properly because so many people can't backbrush. And I'm like, oh my God. He's like, no, Bruno, you're doing a very good job. That's the right way to do it. And I'm like, whew. Okay. But we're good friends and we had a great time. And then what we finished. So I had my three models with the hair up on this side of the stage and he had his three models on that side of the stage and we had about 140 people in the audience. So then the compere said, right, I hope you've enjoyed the evening. Now we're going to leave the models on stage and you can come and take pictures. So Patrick's that side and I'm this side. The whole audience went whoosh to Patrick. And I'm stood here on my own with my three models and I'm just like with no friends. On my own and they're all over on Patrick taking pictures and all his models and then this Irish lady comes over to me with two of her team and she says, Bruno, I just want you to know I think your work is absolutely lovely. And I went, thank you very much, and she said, God bless you. That was it. And I remember working backstage with Patrick and saying, Patrick, how am I going to put this hair up? What do I do? Because it's not my speciality. And he was giving me tips on how to rope braid and do things so that I can make it look a bit different compared to his beautiful work. So, yeah.
That's quite the story.
I never forget. So.
Quite a challenge.
Yeah.
But you did live.
Yeah, I did it. I did it. Yeah.
What's the next big thing for you?
So I'm already, we're organising our British Hairdressing Awards shoot this year, which we're shooting on the 24th, 25th and 26th of April. And we're shooting for the British Hairdressing Awards. We're doing men's this year. We're doing artistic team again, because if I win artistic team, then I'm in the Hall of Fame for that as well. Because that would be the third time. And I'm desperate to win that for the third time because I've won it twice. So that would be twice in the Hall of Fame, but one with the team and one on my own. And we're doing colour with Dan. So we've already chosen three of Dan's models for colour because you have to have six. So we're getting them prepped and ready because you have to do the before shot and then has to enter a big Bible on the step-by-step colour, and then you have to finish with the image of the finished look and write all the colours you use. And you can't use Joico colour, you have to use Schwarzkopf colour. So we have to have a book on Schwarzkopf colours, and then we have to order Schwarzkopf colours in and do all the models in Schwarzkopf colour. So we're doing that. And then we're entering Newcomer of the Year with Paolo. So Paolo's doing newcomer because he's under 25. Art team, men's and southern. So we're doing four collections this year. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's big.
There's nothing stopping you on the competition.
Do you know, I go through stages where I'm like, I've had enough. And then I start looking at things and get my juices going again. I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
You have to have new goals.
Yeah, and I love doing it. It comes to life when I'm in the studio. I love it. It's a lot of pressure because you're thinking of all the money that's being spent. You know, £500 on a makeup artist for a day, £500 plus on a clothes stylist, you know, the cost of the studio, you know, the photographer, which is a big expense. But the models are normally £100 an hour. You know, for a maximum of 4 hours. You know, you have 10 models, that adds up.
Yeah.
So that's why it goes back to the planning. You've got to, we know what clothes we're doing. We know where the makeup's going to go. The makeup artist I use, Katie Moore, is brilliant because I always start off soft. So I like soft, natural, and then we get more edgy and really thick. So we can actually create within collections more collections because I always shoot from the waist up and we have two sets of clothes for each model. So we do two looks on each model in two different outfits, but the collections go together. Does that make sense? We have a third collection where we choose from each of those collections and we turn them into black and white and crop them. So it gives us a lot of collections to spread across the editorials and magazines. So, yeah. So you get them.
It's a great tip.
Yeah. I always shoot in colour, but then being able to switch to black and white. And I always shoot from just about the waist so that I can crop in without it looking bad. So mix all the pictures up if you want to mix crops with longer, you want to go black and white or colour. So, yeah, because the colour outfits, for example, we might do one collection in red and black and we might do another collection in white or white and black or cream. But then when they go black and white, you just see the different tones, so they all marry. So you can have three from that one and three from that one and it works. So
That's a great tip. Really great.
Yeah. And you just get more out of what you've achieved. And all it is just changing that image. You're using it in colour in that collection, but now you're going to put it in that collection, it's black and white. So touching everything's done, but we're switching it black and white. So you've got that image. So, yeah.
Do you have tips for hairdressers who want to be a star hairdresser?
Do you know, the one thing I would say is when I came into hairdressing, I never followed the money and I never wanted to be a superstar hairdresser. I focused on doing what I loved and just being the best I could be. And where I had a weakness, like I could not do colour when I first did hairdressing, so I learned and did master colour experts and I learned about colour. I couldn't do long hair, so I went and learned. And I had lessons with Patrick. I went on his course. Yeah. When I was in Australia, Sharon Blaine, who is another amazing hairdresser at doing hair up, I went on her course and she taught me. And we still keep in contact now. And she does online courses. So I was always about making my weaknesses my strengths. Because when I left London, my cutting was my strength. Nothing else. You know, because in London you had colorists and you had cutters. If you did both, that meant you're rubbish at both. You either had to specialize in one or the other. So when I was progressing and when people said to me, as I was joining manufacturers, what's your strength? I used to say, my strength, I do everything. They said, what do you mean you do everything? No. Well, I do. I can do hair up. I can do everything. So I always think, for me, I never followed being the award-winning hairdresser. I fell into it when I was 29, 30. And when I started to win awards, just because of my passion, because I wanted to enter the award, not because I wanted to be a teacher or anything. When I won the awards, the manufacturers came to me and said, we love what you do. Would you teach for us? And so I didn't set out to do it. It came to me. And then as you start teaching and you go to America, you go to Australia, you go to all these different places. And when you're seen on stage, other people are watching you. And so they say, oh, can you come and work for us and do this? You know, I was working for a brand, which I was with before I joined Joico. And I was on stage at Salon International demonstrating cuts and colors and hair ups. We had 12 models, the art team, and China big group of Chinese people came afterwards, taking all pictures of the models, and they said, we want you to come to China and do a show because we love what you do. So it opened another door. And then I went to China, and I've been going to China for 8 years up until the pandemic.
Yeah.
So my last trip to China was 2019 in November. And it's always 2 weeks before the British Hairdressing Awards, which is on the 29th of November. So I never set out to do it. I've told hairdressers, follow your passion. Don't follow the money and don't follow stardom. Because if you follow those things, it's going to take you a lot longer. So I did it because I absolutely loved it. And I used to work from 8 in the morning to 8 at night and never be tired, you know. Now I'm a bit older, I do get tired. My late night at 7:30, they kill me when I've been working from 8 till 7:30 all day. So, over 4 days. But I love it. And I think people that know me, that see me work, they know I love it. So, but I didn't follow money and I didn't follow wanting to be a superstar hairdresser. I just wanted to do the British Hairdressing Awards because I see it and I thought, wow, that's exciting. So I entered. And then when you win, companies come to you because you've won. And that's how it works.
What inspires you?
Inspires me. I'm constantly online and I'm tagged into so many different hairdressers from Australia, from America. My Instagram is pure. There's no fake. So I've had about 6,500 followers for the last 2 years. But when I look at them, I kind of know most of them because they're all hairdressers within my industry. Or it's like when I went to Oslo, Norway, the people there are people I follow and I see their work and I like their work. So I get inspired from everybody and I'm constantly looking at everybody else's work. And I see things, I think, oh, I like that. I could tweak it and I could do this, you know. One of my images when I won artistic team in 2018, one of my photographic images was this model I see, this picture of, and it was in America, and it was this gothic, all about gothism, and there was this model, and she had this long hair, all black and grey, and it was like, past her knees. So I wanted to actually get a model where I could do this kind of, I had this thing where I was going to do it all curly. So I'd never seen long hair to the knees and I was going to do it all and shoot. So I found this model who was a makeup artist who had hair as long as Anne. She had it down to here, just past her chest. But I wanted the hair longer. So this is what happened. I went and bought, you can only buy 60 inches. I don't know how long you can get it in your country, but we can only buy 60 inches in the UK. So I bought this 60 inches of hair. Of course, when we come to the shoot day and I had it all planned, we curled all the hair, we curled all her hair, so it was all going to blow. And then I went to put it in on here, but it only gained me 3 inches. I was like, oh, my God. And I spent €500 on all this hair. So she had a white shirt on. So I told the clothes stylist, and if you see this image, it's in my 20s. It's all long hair and it's all blowing. And what I did, she got a basque, put her in a basque, which had the leather here, and I put all the hair down the side of the basque, both sides. And then I got her hands and I made her put her hands there like that, together, and I push her hair under her arms, her real hair. And the hair that was in the basques that were here, I got hair dryers and I blew up from the side. And the image just looked incredible.
Wow.
And everybody at the awards said, that is the image. That has won everything. And I won my Hall of Fame with that image. And I won artistic team. So that image just, and all the editors said, I've never seen an image like it. So, but it was thinking on my feet on the day because there was panic setting. So I thought, I put all this hair and it only gained me that much. What am I going to do? And then it just put her in a basque and I stuck all the hair in the bass down here. And the funny thing was, we had her, I got her like this, posing with her arms. So when we blew the hair dry, it looked like she had hairy armpits. So put your arms down. So we put our arms down and we put our hands together like that. And then, like I said, I put her hair underneath so that the hair that was there. And then when we blew it, it all connected. And I was like, oh my God, we got it. That's the shot. Amazing. And I was so excited.
Wow.
Things just happen in the studio. I say, in the studio, you can have these days where all of a sudden something magical happens. And that was one of those days. It was just like, wow.
I have to see that picture.
Yeah, you have to look at it. It's in, we did it in black and white and colour. We did both. But it was, yeah, it's on the Mark Antony website, the collection. And it looks phenomenal. The image, every editor, everyone just said, how did you do that? And I told the story because I was open. I shared it. And they said, what, are you stuck in the bass? I went, yeah, because you couldn't attach it. Yeah, it's incredible.
If you could change anything about the hairdresser industry, what would that be?
I feel hairdressers are devalued. I don't think we are treated with the respect we deserve. And I feel we are looked upon as you have to be the last resort to be a hairdresser. It is like that in the UK anyway, you know. It's if you failed your exams, if you're not very good at your exams, then you go into hairdressing. And I feel we are worth more than that. And hairdressers, people don't understand. Like my friends that do other jobs, they say, oh, you're only a hairdresser. You just go snip, snip, snip. No, mentally, hairdressing is fatiguing. We have to talk with people. It is pressure. And because we have passion, if we do anything wrong, we forget about the eight people we've done right. We just go to bed with that one we've done wrong that complained, and we live with it for the next 48 hours with stress. And they don't understand that because we're so passionate and we want to please our customers. So for me, we don't get the respect that we deserve, and people look at us hairdressers, oh, you're just the hairdresser, yeah? Whereas actually, I feel when I go to places like China, a hairdresser there is as important as a doctor. You know, but in England, a hairdresser is equivalent to, you know, basically a nobody, you know. And when we went to schools and colleges, when children used to come over to us, because we do school evenings, we would have two or three the whole evening. And I'd always say, why do you want to be a hairdresser? And they say, oh, the teacher said my grades are going to be low, so they told me to do hairdressing or beauty, you know. So I find hairdressing needs to be told from the schools up that it's an amazing career. You can have so many opportunities. You can go in, you can add makeup to the bow, you can do colour, you can do so many different avenues within hairdressing. I mean, we've done Fashion Week, we've done Paris, Rome. Yeah. There's so many different things you can do, but people just think you just stand behind a chair and talk about holidays, you know? And they treat us as we're imbeciles. Yeah, actually, I think hairdressers are the most humble people, they're the most caring people, and they have the best personalities. And you always know when you're in a room for a hairdresser's because they're always fun and mixing wherever you go, just like in Norway when I was in that hotel.
Yeah.
For business people, they're all very boring. So I think we're all for enjoying what we do. We love what we do, but we should have more respect from other people because I think it's an important job. And we have the power to make people, men and women, leave our salon with a smile and give them confidence. And on the backside of that, we can also destroy them and make them feel awful. So we have big power. There aren't many jobs that can do that.
So I just so true.
Respect. I would love to go to all the schools and colleges and say hairdressing is a great career and you should be putting people into this job because it's a phenomenal career, in my opinion. I can't think of anything else. I only wanted to play football. I played semi-pro football till I was 35. Can you imagine when I used to go out in front of 5,000 football fans? I had long blonde hair then in my 20s with highlights. I looked a bit like ABBA. Yeah. And the away crowd, they shout obscenities to me because they put in the program, number seven used to play for Reading and Fulham, now's a hairdresser. So they gave me abuse. I didn't care. But that's the thing, you know? That's the thing. But I love my job. And I think anyone out there, hairdressing is an amazing career. And if you enjoy it, I've never done anything that I haven't enjoyed. If you don't like, don't do hairdressing because it's your last resort. Do it because you love it, because it's fun. Because I have fun every day with my clients. I have fun. I make them look beautiful, but I have fun as well. So for me, it's about enjoying what you do. And if you find a job that you enjoy, then you don't work, because it's just, it's great. So it's very cliche, but I found a job that I love, so I don't work a day in my life.
And you can't be stupid when you have smart hands, because the hands won't react if the head doesn't send the signal and passion out to the hands.
Exactly. Mm. So, on Christmas Eve, I had a customer, which the colour wasn't quite right. And on Christmas Eve, we closed at 2 o'clock. I stayed till 4 o'clock to get this colour right, to make her happy, because it was Christmas Eve, and I gave her a hug and she left and she was happy. But all over Christmas, I was thinking about it because it wasn't quite what I wanted, you know? But that's the thing. We take our job home with us, you know, and we think about it. And then after Christmas, I gave her a call and she said, oh, Bruno, could you just do a little bit? And I went, yeah, sure, come in, because I still wasn't happy, you know? So there's things you got to think of. You do 40 clients a week. You're pleased 39. If you don't please the 40th, or there's one you don't please, that's the one that kills you. Mm. You know, that is the one which you talk to your husband or your wife about and say, oh, this woman's there, blah, blah, blah. And it upsets you. You don't think about the 39 that were great. You know, we always think about the worst. And because we're such passionate people at what we do. Mm. So, yeah, for me, I love my job. And you know, I speak to Danielle and Wendy and my Joico. I'm with Joico now and I'm loving it. I just wish I'd have joined Joico 10 years sooner, because I find the company is amazing. The colours are absolutely, I just think they're stunning. The clients love them. The brand, the home care range, it's the total package. So, yeah, I'm really happy.
So. Where does the listeners find you on social media?
So my Instagram is BrunoMark10. That's Mark with a C, and it's 10. And it's got all my collections on there as well. My Facebook is BrunoMark as well. It's the same. So, yeah. And normally people message me on my Instagram. I message them back. If they tag me in with their work and I like it, I like it. I don't get to like all of them, but there's ones I do comment on. So, yeah, and, yeah, that's where you can get me. I'm on TikTok. I've got a few haircuts on TikTok. Paul Watts from Joico said, you've got to put some haircuts on TikTok. And I did. It's not my thing. So, but Paul Watts is absolutely amazing on TikTok, but it wasn't for me. But, yeah, I'm on Instagram. In fact, I put a haircut up. I did a haircut this morning on one of my models that we used in our photo shoot, a little Miley Cyrus haircut. We used her in the collection, and she came in all grown out, and I chopped it all up again today with a razor and did her blonde. So, yeah, that's all on there on my Instagram page. So, yeah, all right.
Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. I'm really inspired right now.
Brilliant. Good. It's been a pleasure. Nice talking to you both.
And feel free to give a star on iTunes and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. See you next week.
See you next week.